Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast with me and Sips.
Oh, we're back.
Almost, there was a full stop between me and Sips. Full stop and period. Full stop.
Oh, I didn't leave any space. I think I just fucking go for it.
You gotta leave room for the applause, that's why. You have to imagine that you're on a stage in front of a crowd of about like half a dozen people.
Yeah.
And you know, when you say the names, the crowd erupts.
Yeah, true.
With applause. They love it.
So I'm hungover.
Woo!
And I'm a
hungover.
I was still a little drunk when I woke up this morning.
Oh my god, what did you do last night?
I just went out to the
Oktoberfest.
Pub. Well,
jeez.
I went out to the pub with my mates who hadn't seen them in a while.
Oh yeah.
And cuz you know, they have real jobs and none of us live near each other. We're all over.
Careful,
London.
Lewis might get jealous. Just careful.
Okay.
Tread carefully.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've been cutting down on the old midweek drinking.
Right.
Which is something I would drink like pretty much every day. Have a couple of ciders while I was streaming just to unwind and everything.
Sure.
And I was like, you know what, this probably isn't healthy. So I've cut back on that. So I've defortified my body towards alcohol, I guess. So I had like 5 pints in fairly short order. And then I got the train home and I bought a burger and I couldn't eat it on the train because I hate eating in front of other people in public transport. So I thought I'll have it when I get in.
Yeah.
So I got home and I was having a bite of my burger. I was like, Jesus, I better go to bed. So I had like two bites of it, went to bed, woke up still pretty drunk when I was looking after the kids in the morning, which isn't a good thing. So I'm feeling a bit delicate, but I haven't been hungover in ages and I've forgotten how fucking crappy it is.
Was the burger half eaten like on your bedside?
I had a little bit more this morning.
Of course, yeah.
Jesus.
That's the way it goes, yeah. Was it one of those burgers that they just overfill and like everything runs out of it? Will you take a bite? Just like a bunch of shit falls out the back of it.
Sadly,
like,
not. It was a Burger
King
burger. There's a Burger King at Waterloo, and I got it
right,
from there.
Yeah.
I don't even remember buying it, honestly.
They do a pretty tight burger, actually. They're like all contained, like nothing really drips
out.
Yeah,
it's all very, very manufactured. Well, I was thinking about this the other day. Burger King is probably one of the most depressing burger chains that's still left.
I know, they don't feel like the king somehow, do they?
No, I feel the honorific needs to be adjusted to just burger.
Yeah.
Burger pauper.
Burger peasant.
Yeah. Burger peasant.
Yeah. Yeah, burger peasant.
They've definitely entered this world of burger hipsters though, right? Or at least it felt like that. Like Five
gourmet
Guys sort of felt
and stuff.
Much premium and gourmet.
Yeah, Burger King did feel like it was a better quality burger than McDonald's, even though it's probably not.
Back
but it,
in the day.
It seemed like it. But now it's been surpassed. And their menu doesn't seem to have changed in a very
long
time.
It's been squeezed down.
Yeah. And also now, the Burger King in Twickenham is just the most sad place. It's like, there's like two people in there ever. It's big and dingy and dark. There's only ever one person working on the counter because they're so quiet. Uh-huh. I feel like, you know, McDonald's at least listened to people saying the McDonald's was like Burger King is now a few years ago. And then they thought, you know what, let's jazz everything up. And they've got like, it's much brighter in there now when you go to McDonald's. It's quite fancy looking compared to the way it used to
Fuck
be.
Fuck me.
What?
Yeah.
I had a McDonald's birthday when I was a kid, right? You know, it was
wasn't
a thing
it special back
did.
Then?
It
was
it
so
was
special.
Really special. It was
yeah,
so
back
special.
When they had Ronald McDonald, but now where's he?
Everyone
gone.
In my class wanted to come with me to that McDonald's birthday.
Yeah.
They were that's when I had friends, guys. That was the last time.
That's what it takes.
Remember they
McDonald's?
Had like Grimace and
Grimace,
the Hamburglar.
Yeah,
and
Hamburglar.
Just wanted to come with me for the chicken nuggets
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah. I used to love McDonald's chicken nuggets back in the day.
Chicken nuggets.
Sweet and sour sauce. Mm.
They're still good, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you can get chicken selects, which is just breaded chicken.
Yeah.
But the nuggets are still pretty dank.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like, it's funny how we talk so fondly of burgers and nuggets when they are kind of the epitome of manufactured meat.
Oh, it's horrible,
gross, processed meat, yeah.
It's like, Why do we have? I mean, even the word gourmet in front of a burger feels like a,
it does feel ridiculous.
It has no effect on some people, though. Some people just don't give a shit. Like, I went to Hollywood with Terps to do this thing for Hearthstone, and we were there with Trump. You know, Trump the the president, the streamer. And Trump and Terps bought 50 chicken nuggets in a huge box.
These are the best chicken nuggets.
Yeah, and they ate them together. and I'm drinking a milkshake and watching this happening. And both of those guys are just completely, they don't give a fuck about processed meat at all. They're just like, yeah, whatever. Give me the nuggets.
The thing is,
I'm ready.
Is fucking delicious. That's
it. But they put a lot of like different shit into them, right? Like there's sugar in there and stuff. And like, you know, there's even sugar in their fries, or at least there used to be. And like
nature can't compete.
Yeah.
You know, nature has had plenty of time to try and make a chicken delicious over the years, right?
Yeah.
Over millions of generations, people think things have been eating chickens, and we've been breeding them to be more and more delicious, domesticated.
Plump. We've been plumping them up.
Yeah.
We've been feeding them all sorts of stuff, different things.
Yeah, I know.
We've fucking fed, if we could feed chickens, like, I don't know, if we could feed chickens like dog shit, okay, and it made them even more delicious. That would be on the fucking shelf in fucking
Waitrose says
organically
there'd be legislation that stated like the moment a shit leaves your dog's asshole outside it becomes property of the state as well.
Exactly.
Sell the dog shit to chicken
that
farmers.
Shit up. You'd be able to put it in a little doggy bag, and instead of a doggy bin, you'd have a post bin, right? Where it would post it to the fucking factory where they would sell luxury made dog shit, and people would eat the shit out of it.
Yeah, well, that would be a lot better than people who leave their dog shits in the park for my kids to fall face first into
and die. That so much.
It's so annoying. Like, I get that people like dogs and they want to have dogs and stuff, but holy shit, if it takes shit outside, just clean it up. Like, do the trick where you put your hand in the bag inside out and then.
Use the bare hand. Like, I get it. Like, that's gross. Use the little scoopy thing or a piece of
card.
Go
blind if you touch dog shit.
It's what?
That's not even an urban myth.
What, go in blind?
From touching dog shit.
It's dangerous.
It's bad for your
eyes. Cat shit is bad, too. I think cats are the worst because people let their cats outside and their cats just roam around everywhere shitting. Yeah. They shit all over my lawn. Like, every fucking day there's cat shit in my backyard.
That's terrible. Like, I think you can get toxoplasmosis. That was in Trainspotting. The guy got toxoplasmosis from all the cat shit lying around.
Well,
we're not meant to live next to poop. It's a bad thing.
No. And that's the thing. These animals, like, well, I don't even know. Like, did dogs live in the wild, like, before we started breeding them and stuff? Like, what were dogs before they became ultra-domesticated and bred for domestication? They were just wolves?
Yeah.
Like, well, what about like Jack Russell Terriers?
That's just inbreeding.
They're man-made, right?
They're selectively bred. There were no wild Jack Russells.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's crazy, right? The same thing.
Oh my god!
With,
look at that in the forest over there. A pack of wild Jack Russells.
It's the same thing with guinea pigs. You know, little guinea pigs that you buy from the store. Apparently, their gene pool is super super weak now because of all the breeding and stuff that they've done. And a lot of them seem healthy at first, but their lifespan is like super reduced to like 3-4 years, where they should live about 7 or 8 years because they just come with all of these genetic problems because of all the inbreeding and stuff like that. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Like,
it is.
They're really cute. They're small and cute, and they're great little pets and
it's
stuff.
It's a shit
too.
Pet. They do nothing.
Oh, come on. If you're going to get a pet, they're the easiest. You don't really have to do anything. They don't even really want to see you.
Yeah, but they don't do anything either. Exactly. They just live in a box. I feel bad because they just live in a box. They should be running wild in Peru or wherever they're from.
Oh, no. They're preyed upon by pretty much every other animal.
Animals
so they're
are
safer
in
a box.
They're used to that. Animals are used to that. They've evolved to deal with the fact that they're just going to get eaten a lot of the time.
Well, this is the thing I was talking about to people. Like, I think that for people who have, like, pets, the thing is that these guinea pigs now have been so, and birds too, like pet birds, have been so domesticated over hundreds, well, in some cases, thousands of years. I mean, like,
It's been going on for a long ass time.
Domesticated
hasn't it?
Cats, didn't they?
Yeah, Egyptians had cats.
I think it was obviously like South Americans who domesticated guinea pigs, and I think it was fucking like thousands of years ago that it happened.
Hundreds of thousands. I doubt it.
Not that.
No one had pets.
They had the choice back then of whether or not they were going to domesticate a dinosaur or a guinea pig. And then they just sort of like weighed it up and they thought, yeah, this T-Rex isn't going to fit in my backyard. Maybe I'll just go for the guinea pig, you know. It's easier. It's easier.
And that they're just not good to survive. They can't survive on their own.
Not really, no.
You know, so, like, if it was a zombie apocalypse, they'd all die out with us. You know
what I read the other day? That grass was not around when the dinosaurs were around. I assume that's what dinosaurs ate, but they didn't. They ate ferns
and things. Grass is like a thing that became very popular in the 50s, I think it was, when they started making big suburbs in America.
They built the grass.
The demand for grass shot up. And it's a European thing. I think they actually started growing grass from specific grains to make, like, you know, like lawn grass or whatever. But then it became like this thing in America where everybody had to have like manicured properties and stuff like that. So that it was very sought after. And that's why there's so much grass now. It was the voice of the people. It was the demand. People wanted to have nice Wisteria Lane like houses, you know. They wanted to have these big suburban houses with nice lawns that the guy could mow the grass on the weekend after a hard week of working at the stapler factory back in the 1950s.
Middle
and stuff.
America.
Yeah. It was it all came from that. And then that sort of just became the
Hey Joe.
Yeah,
hi,
became
Mark,
the sort of status
you?
Quo. It became
I'm
like the
good.
Norm.
How's the stapler factory going?
Yeah.
Oh well, Pam stapled her face to the staple machine last week. Oh no, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh yeah, she's got just her eyelids are just stapled shut now. It's just a disaster.
Poor Pam. God damn.
Well, see ya. Oh bye.
How's she gonna? This is the '50s, right? How the hell is she gonna do the dishes now? She won't be able to see all the stuff on the.
That's right.
The dishes. Pam.
Actually, she wouldn't work at the staple.
If she's working at the staple factory, maybe things are different. I don't know. Ooh. Maybe. Who knows? But yeah, that's where that's the story of grass.
Is grass good? That's my question. Is it good for the world?
Grass?
Is it? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Is it like, does it stop kind of the dust bowl? Do you know what I mean? Does it like, does growing grass on this land stop it becoming kind of just turned
into... Here's things that grass does, okay?
Yeah.
Looks nice.
Yeah.
It provides food for a shitload of animals.
Yeah.
Right.
It binds soil together, like you were saying, to prevent it just blowing away. Because the top layer of soil would just blow away.
Yeah.
You get to play football on it.
Provides a nice place for wild dogs and cats to shit on.
Is it good for greenhouse effect as well? Does it like...
Well, it's a plant.
Is it a good reflector?
No, it's... What do you mean greenhouse effect?
He means, does it absorb carbon, I guess?
No, I mean, like, does it work like as a... Does it work as a reflector? Because a lot of stuff isn't really very reflective. Like modern urbanization is sort of a heat sink. It makes the earth hotter.
I think clouds are the main source of reflection, honestly.
Yeah, it's all the gas in the air. That's the reflective stuff. Like the... It's basically like the greenhouse gases are what are reflecting all the shit down onto the earth where it wouldn't normally sort of.
No, the greenhouse gases keep the heat in. This is the problem.
No, they're
like a blanket. It's like a big blankie.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the misconception. I think that people because it's called the greenhouse effect, everybody assumes that it keeps the heat in. But I think the gases in the atmosphere that are there in abundance now, which they never used to be, from burning like fossil fuels and stuff like that. They help reflect the energy of the sun down onto the earth.
How would
more
they
so,
do that?
Sort of thing.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't
sense.
Know, man. I'm not a scientist, but
yeah,
that's
but
how
I don't
it works.
Think you're right.
Look it up.
You're wrong. I will.
Look it up right now.
I'm right. I'm telling you.
Greenhouse effect.
Research confirms that
the trapping of the sun's warmth in a planet's lower atmosphere. Due to the greater transparency of the atmosphere to visible radiation from the sun than to infrared radiation emitted from the planet's surface.
Oh, God. Here, hang on a second. Let me find this thing. I was reading about this recently. This is why. Okay, the greenhouse effect. Okay. Are you ready for this? The greenhouse effect.
Wait. I'm reading it. Solar radiation passes through the atmosphere. That's incoming solar radiation from the sun.
Yeah.
But half the solar radiation is absorbed by the Earth's surface. Then it bounces back. Radiation is converted to heat energy, causing the emission of long-wave infrared radiation back to the atmosphere. Some of the infrared radiation is absorbed and re-emitted by the greenhouse gas molecules. That's what you're referring to, I think. Some of the solar radiation is reflected by the atmosphere and the Earth's surface. Some of the infrared radiation passes through the atmosphere and out into space.
If a planet's atmosphere contains radiatively active gases, i.e. greenhouse gases, they will radiate energy in all directions. Part of this radiation is directed towards the surface, warming it. The intensity of the downward radiation, that is, the strength of the greenhouse effect, will depend on the atmosphere's temperature and on the amount of greenhouse gases that the atmosphere contains. Earth's natural greenhouse effect is critical to supporting life. Human activities, mainly the burning of fossil fuels and clearing of forests, have strengthened the greenhouse effect and caused global warming. The term greenhouse effect arose from a faulty analogy with the effect of sunlight passing through glass and warming a greenhouse. The way a greenhouse retains heat is fundamentally different, as a greenhouse works mostly by reducing airflow so that the warm air is kept inside.
Oh.
So why'd they give it a shit name?
Because fucking people are stupid, that's why. It sounds better, right? And it's easier for people that don't know what it is to understand, right? That,
like, they called it global
warming. Everybody knows
that
a greenhouse is warm.
But they shouldn't call it global warming either, because the problem is it's then people say, but it's cold! Like, climate change is a better name, right?
Here's a question. Are greenhouses good for the greenhouse effect?
Are greenhouses good for the greenhouse effect? I don't think trapping warm air inside a very small building in your backyard to help you grow tomatoes is part of the problem, really.
Right.
I don't think it has any
effect. Do you
effect.
Know one of the solutions
I'm not an expert, though.
Well, neither am I, because I was dead wrong.
Well, let's look it up and read out.
One of the solutions they had, I remember reading this a while back, some scientist. I always imagine when they have these meetings in the government, they're like, all right, Mr. President, we have our top scientific advisor here, Mr. Nordstrom. Mr. Nordstrom, would you please share your findings? Yeah, I have an idea, Mr. President. We must build a giant mirror and put it in space to reflect some of the sunlight away from the Earth. It would cost nearly $10 billion and 50 years to build this giant mirror. But they were thinking of doing it, building a big fucking metal disc that unfurls in space to reflect some of the sunlight from the Earth back. And from sunlight
back.
Because apparently if we could just stop like 2 or 3% of the sunlight hitting the Earth, it would counteract a lot of the warming effect.
Yeah.
But I think the reason they didn't want to do it is because people would stick a big mirror in space and go, problem solved, and just fucking leave it there. Even though there's more problems than just the sun. Like, the problem is we shouldn't be pumping all this shit into the atmosphere and polluting and everything like that. Like, let's solve that problem rather than build a giant fucking mirror and pretend we've solved it.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I mean, there's a lot of, like, very smart people all over this now and have been for years and stuff. And, like, I think they've made recommendations that have pretty much been ignored. There's certain things that they changed over the years, like CFCs,
they banned those.
Yeah, and then instead they used HFCs, which they've now banned as well because of the effect on like ozone, which is like the holes in the ozone layer and stuff like that. So they've made some steps, but like still the fact that we're just like belching out tons of fucking carbon, like by refining oil and driving cars and
container ships are a big problem too. If you look at the top 20, like the 20 biggest container ships in the world are so fucking big and use such horrible fuel that those 20 ships alone produce as much pollution or more than all the cars in the world chuck out. So
that's
these things
crazy.
Are just running all the fucking time.
Yeah,
huge things. Think how big their engines are. And the fuel they use is, like, they don't just stick diesel in there or something. They're sticking, like, God knows what in there. And we've just got all this shit that we're just thinking, you know what? It's fine. This won't harm anything, but it's stupid.
I think one of the problems with grass as well, and I think mostly it's pretty good, but I think one of the things that people are concerned about with grass is that the amount of fresh water that grass tends to consume from people like watering their lawns and stuff, especially if it's dry or whatever. It's like a lot of fresh water used for something.
Oh, they do that in Hollywood a lot, don't they? That's a big thing.
Just
in California.
Looks nice. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really serve any other purpose other than to like look pretty good and your kids can play on
it
or whatever.
Your sheep can eat
Your sheep can eat the grass. And
I mean,
stuff.
There's
but
been
yeah,
a, the thing is, there's been a big move for people sticking AstroTurf down in their gardens, right? So I see a lot of people do that now because
well,
fake
you know
grass
the,
is pretty good looking.
The thing with grass. The AstroTurf yeah. is that it uses rubber, like it usually recycled rubber from like old tires and shit like
right,
that,
right.
Which is fine. The problem is that when AstroTurf retains a ton of heat. Right. So if it's a super hot day and the sun is beating down on it, the rubber like melts slightly and can be toxic. Like people have died from it. Like not a lot, but
what, eating it or just being near it? Or
just being near
it.
Like the emissions given off by it.
I'm gonna rub my face on the grass and breathe a lot. So
I mean it's not like it's not we're not talking about like, you know, it wiping out the population of a small town
right,
or whatever,
right.
But there have definitely been cases that have been linked back to it. And, you know, it gets super fucking hot.
Yeah.
Like hot, like so hot that you couldn't step on it with your bare feet sort of thing. Whereas grass, even if it's hot, you can step on it with your bare feet and stuff like that. So, but it's low maintenance, right?
Well, this is apparently why it's better for climate change than like actual grass, because you don't have to constantly be using your lawnmower to mow it and watering it and fiddling with it all the time and getting it perfect.
Yeah.
You know, all of that extra work.
It's just poisonous, but yeah. No,
it's a balancing act, right? It's one evil or another. We're going to fuck the world regardless.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Might as well enjoy that burger.
We might as well, enjoy that burger while you're sitting on your AstroTurf and, you know, fucking driving your car around your AstroTurf and stuff.
I did look at a couple of, when I was looking around at moving recently, I found a couple of places and one of them had this AstroTurf garden. It looked like the cheapest, tackiest shit you've ever seen in your life.
So you bought the place.
So I'm recording out of my AstroTurf garden right now.
I'm actually outside right now, sitting on my AstroTurf.
It's got this funny smell though, it's quite a hot day. Fumes are just
very
going to my head. Oh, I feel so good.
Might be low blood sugar though. It just might be low blood sugar.
So I watched a movie. It was on Turner Classic Movies channel, which I like,
right.
TCM. I watch it quite a lot.
Right.
And it was called Executive Decision with Kurt Russell.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Kurt Russell.
So this film had quite a decent cast. It had Kurt Russell.
Uh-huh.
It had Steven Seagal, who I can't stand, but he was in it.
Yeah.
Halle Berry was in it. It had John Leguizamo in it. Had mm-hmm. Oliver Platt in it, and it had the guy who was in charge of, what was the name of it? Was it Dynan Industries in Terminator 2? Where the black guy that they have to go and tell him, you've got to destroy this chip or you're going to create the Skynet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he in the end, he gets shot and he drops the thing that blows up the building, right? Spoilers, but anyway.
Yeah.
Him, he was in it, and a couple of other people I recognize were in it. And this movie is the plane gets taken over. Oh, David Suchet, like fucking Poirot, was in it. He was the bad guy, right?
Nice.
So he's in it. And I was watching this movie. And basically, these terrorists take over a plane led by Suchet. And they've got a bomb on board. So the lads decide they're going to sneak up to the plane on a stealth bomber with a tube that goes between the stealth bomber and the plane and sneak in through this hatch underneath. And this is quite near the start of the film. The hatch goes, foomp, sticks onto the plane. They've equalized the pressure, and they're climbing up this ladder to get into the plane. One of them falls and knocks himself out. So they're struggling to get him out before the seal breaks. And just as it's about to break, they're like, Steven Seagal has climbed the ladder. And they say, Steven Seagal, you're not going to make it. And he goes, you will. And he closes the hatch, sealing his own doom. And the tunnel gets blown off the ship, and he flies off into the atmosphere and dies. And the plane spins out of control and the pilot jettisons out. So now they're stuck on the plane and they have to figure out where the bomb is, defuse it, and then kill the terrorists and take the plane back over before it enters US airspace and gets shot down by the US Air Forces, the F-17s or 16s or whatever they're flying.
Where does the executive decision come in? Like,
I'll
when is that one made?
Okay. I'll tell you. First of all, the president is not in the movie at all. Like, he's obviously...
Right.
I don't know how they couldn't just get an actor to play the president. It's like the president was out of the country.
They could have even done, like, a Steinbrenner sort of thing.
Yeah, they
know,
could have.
You see the back of him, and he's
but
like, I'm making an executive decision.
Exactly. But they didn't. So at one point, they decide they're going to shoot the plane down because they've run out of time. It's going to enter US airspace. It's got this nerve agent bomb. It's going to blow up. Big problem. But there's a guy on the plane. They think they defused the bomb, but then they realize that there's a trigger man on the plane.
Right.
So even if they defuse the trigger mechanism and the timer, this guy can just go boop and push a button and blow the bomb up. Okay, so they realize they have to find the trigger man, who's like a hidden passenger, kill him, and then they can kill the rest of the terrorists and defuse the bomb. So two things intrigued me, all right? First of all, to come back to the executive decision, why it's called that, at one point in the movie, a guy says, you better get the president on the phone. If we're going to shoot this plane down, this is an executive decision. In other words, only the president can say, yes, shoot those civilians to save more civilians. That's the decision, okay, that he has to make. So he's got to decide, is it better that we kill the 400 passengers on this plane to stop the bomb, or do we just let it blow up over Washington and kill a million people? So that was the executive decision. So first of all, at one point, Kurt Russell's like, I think I've spotted the lad, like the trigger man. So they've got all these cameras.
In his own words.
Yeah. They've got these little cameras that they've poked through into the... you know, because they're sort of above the main compartment in this hidden crawl space. And they drill, literally with a hand drill, like, drill a hole. Nobody notices that none of the dust falling from the ceiling attracts anyone's attention. Drill holes through the plane's ceiling so they can peek in with these tiny cameras like the SAS do, have a look and see if they can spot the lad. So they spot him. And Kurt Russell, they're all ready to go. They're like, okay. There's because these commanders are like, all right, what we'll do is blow the doors, we'll kill the lights, we'll go in there and hit them hard, we'll kill all these guys. Bingo, bango, no problem. So they're all on board with that plan. They're ready to do it. And suddenly Kurt Russell just decides he's going to fucking go in because he thinks he spotted the trigger man. Doesn't tell anyone his plan. Doesn't relay this over the radio. Just hides. He literally hides behind Halle Berry in the most stupid way. He's like crouched behind her and getting her to walk forward. Like there's no way you would miss him. He's walking through the passenger area. There's all terrorists knocking about. He's there with his gun just hiding behind Halle Berry. Goes to shoot the guy, and it's just some guy smuggling diamonds for some reason. He thinks it was the trigger device, but it was just a load of diamonds in a box. He's like, oh shit, it's the wrong guy. Suddenly spots the real guy. All hell breaks loose. And the other commanders are like, what the fuck? He's just gone in there. So I'm wondering if the executive decisions that Kurt Russell decided, all this planning, like an hour and a half of build up, he just goes, fuck it, I'm YOLOing in, and just fucking goes in.
Yeah.
I was like, where's the sense in this? Kurt Russell isn't, and he's never shot anyone in his life. He's just a fucking analyst of some kind. Why is he rocking in there? What's up with that?
High risk, high reward.
It was stupid.
He pulled it off.
It was, though. No, he did. He barely did.
Yeah, but he still did. That's the main thing. There was a happy
ending. They should have let the commandos handle it. I just couldn't believe that the film was quite sensible up to that point, and then Kurt Russell just goes, fuck it, and just goes in. I was like, what?
Well, sometimes that is the decision that you make, right? Sometimes I could see that in my own life. You know, sometimes you've been over and over something so many fucking times. Sometimes you're like, fuck it. I can't talk about this anymore. Let's just do it. Or
yeah,
yeah. You know, it's like, who cares?
Yeah, but there's not 400 lives at stake and potentially, you know, there's a nerve agent that's going to detonate. I mean, you're talking about things like having a burger or having some grass in your garden or switching to AstroTurf. Those are fuck it decisions.
It's like you're in a restaurant, yeah? You got a menu. You're like, fucking, you know, fuck it. Just, oh, I have a burger. Who cares? Like, fuck, I don't care. Just hungry. Yeah. Give me some fucking
is that
food
an executive
right
decision?
So first
it's
of all,
a mini executive decision because you're the executive
right?
of your life, right? So you say, you know what? Fuck it. I've had enough. You know, I'm having a bad day. I think eating this burger is going to make me feel a bit better. I'm making the executive decision for myself to buy a Burger King burger.
We'll have to get the president on this one. Mr. President, nuggets or Burger King?
That's what's great about being like even a young adult. You know, when you get to that point, like remember the first time you had a bit of money and your parents dropped you off at the movie theater
meet
your friends?
Exciting.
And you're just like, fuck, holy shit. Like, I've got all this money and I can buy whatever I want with
it. Yeah.
So, and then you buy like 10 chocolate bars and watch a movie. It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like that first little sniff of freedom from being oppressed by the man. You know,
and
like
the thing is, people always think that oppression and freedom and everything can be achieved politically. But I think, honestly, the biggest freedom you can give people is that they have some fucking money. Like, that's what actually gives people the most freedom to make their own decisions and stuff like that. They need some money.
A little bit of money, yeah.
They don't need billions. No. They just need enough money that they are actually... That people just, give a shit about them.
Just to do a couple of fun things, you know, just
enough
mix it
money
up a
that
bit.
The decision is there.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You know? Rather like, than have like, everything
they,
like
rather than like, oh, I have to do this.
Now you've got a choice. Now you're a consumer, and the man will actually give a shit about you. That's the shame of it is when people don't have money, no one gives a shit.
Yeah, because they know that you're useless.
Yeah,
like,
what are you
going to
do
in terms of making profits and stuff like that.
You generate nothing. You consume a little. Uh-huh. You know. Yeah, that's why having money, giving people enough money to become empowered is so important, I think.
What you're saying is that money buys happiness.
I did not say that, Lewis. In the words of Jacob Bronowski,
in the context of our society and stuff, it doesn't buy happiness, but it gives you options.
In the words of Jacob Bronowski, a great man. If you haven't seen The Ascent of Man, TV series from BBC from like I think the '70s, it's brilliant and you should watch it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And he talks about all the different things that happened in history that really helped mankind become sort of what it is now. You know. Bear in mind in the '70s and eighties, I guess everything was looking pretty rosy for the future. We were thinking, you know, everything's going to be awesome. Obviously it isn't, but the thing is, he said the good life is not found in material decency, but the good life must be based on material decency. So he's saying that once you give poor people the chance to lead a decent life materially, other good things will follow from that. Like, you can't just give people shit and that makes them happy, but that's where the good life begins, because then you don't have to worry about shit. And mass production of things like, even simple stuff like cutlery and plates and clothes and furniture has enabled people to have a decent life materially, and then happiness can come from that if you continue to build it. I thought that was really deep. I like that a lot. So when people say money doesn't buy you happiness, it's true, but it allows happiness to exist, I think. Whereas the lack of any material decency makes everything so shitty that it doesn't really matter.
I think it definitely improves the quality of life, like in terms of like standards, you know, like stuff you said, like cutlery and you know, like advances in hygiene and stuff like that means that you're not fucking sick all the goddamn time. I mean, we're still a little bit sick, but we're not like you dying in our 30s for the most part and stuff now, you know, like all of these things are very good
and
have probably generated quite
a bit
of happiness. I think people's living standards generally in the West, at least, have to contribute some happiness back to them a little bit, right? Like I would be miserable if I lived in a log cabin with no running water or electricity, for instance.
Some people seek that shit out. Like that's
some
their,
people
their
do,
game.
Yeah, and more power to them if that's what they want to do and that makes them happy. Personally, I would not be happy.
I could
tolerate it. I don't think I would be like a useless mess. Like, I would get on with it. But if I'd had the luxury of running water and electricity in the past, I would be like, fuck this shit. Like, I just want to get back to running water and electricity. Like, this is not how I want to live the rest of my life. But I do understand how some people are attracted to that and they want to do it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just give people enough money to buy a burger.
Yeah. And, yeah, well, you know what, though? Like, I think...
Doesn't have to be a dog shit.
Give a man a burger and he'll eat for just a day. Give him the means to go to Burger King all the time and he will be a happy man.
I think social systems do kind of give people the money for a burger, but the problem is that the bar is set so high, right? Like, it's not the burger that makes people think that they're going to be happy. It's like
the burger is the analogy.
It's all of the shit, right? Like,
yeah, they
you
need
have
the fries
tablets,
and they need the Coke as well.
You got to have the big TV and you got to have this and that and everything else and the car and like all this really expensive stuff. And that's what. And then I think that just ends up making people feel miserable as well, right? There's definitely it's sort of like a standard that people have in mind. Of the things that they need to have or the things that they feel that they need.
And it seems to like it keeps going. The bar for where the good life begins seems to keep moving. Like rather than just, right, we got there, we're in a good place, infant mortality rates are super, like historically compared to humanity's 100,000, 200,000 years or whatever of... I mean, apparently I'm reading a book called Sapiens at the moment, which I really recommend. It's very good.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. I mean, honestly, this fucking show is full of great recommendations. I mean, honestly, like, I'm going to...
It is.
I'm going to, like... I watched the Vietnam War thing.
Oh, that was good. Did you like that? Did you watch
really,
the whole
really
thing?
Good.
Fuck,
yeah,
it's like 20 hours.
I mean, that's all I've done over the last week, honestly, is all I do every week is... write down while I'm listening to this podcast the stuff, and then over the next week I'm going to watch The Ascent of Man again.
Oh,
I'm going to
so
probably
good.
Watch because the same team who made The Ascent of Man also made Cosmos, which was the Carl Sagan famous series in the 80s, and they also made one before called Civilization, which was this guy called Kenneth Clark went around, and it was very British, but he basically talked about fucking civilization, like history and like all these. It was very famous and very good, and even now like stands up as watchable, even though it was made like fucking 15 years before it was made. It was like made in like fucking 1970 or like 1969, ridiculous, a long time ago. But
that's,
you know, history,
when I was born in the 70s.
The Byzantiums, it's as far away now as it was in the 70s. You know, nothing's really changed from the sort of the idea of like creating content around. Like, we don't know, we're sure we know a little bit more, but maybe we're a little bit better on the details. And it, but it's coming at it from a different angle. But it's still like really interesting to see. Like, just a different viewpoint, you know. The 70s, the people around there did have a different outlook on life. They did have a different viewpoint, you know. There was Kennedy and the space race and, you know, white picket fences and people go to work in the stapler factories. It was different. It was a different time, you know. They didn't have Burger Kings, and maybe they did.
I think they did, yeah. I'm pretty sure that they had fast
but it was a very different outlook towards Burger Kings.
Their burgers weren't even royal at that point.
No,
what you're
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even think they were the king at that point. I think it was just Burger.
Burger Duke. The Burger Earl. The Viscount of Burgers.
What's with this craze for like artisan food now, right? Like people just have a burger. People just have more money than they used to, right?
I don't know if they necessarily have more money. I just think people eat out a fuckload compared to what they used to. Like, I think people eat at home. A lot of people, like, I know that there was I watched a documentary about eating habits, and one of the best tests for people's eating habits is how long do you spend cleaning up after dinner. And in somewhere like America, they have incredibly low amount of time spent cleaning up after dinner because it involves putting packaging in the rubbish. That's it. Like, that's cleaning up. There's not washing up or loading the dishwasher or anything like that. It's just getting all the containers together and binning them. So they spend very little time cooking because they just order. Like, if I know a lot of American people who just order food. They never cook.
Yeah.
They either go out to eat, they get food delivered. That's it. Like, there's very little cooking.
I very rarely cook now, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very modern idea that you don't cook at home. That you, apparently, we have way less time, even though I know that in the 50s, when the computer was first becoming a thing, they thought that we'd all be working 3-day weeks because everything's so efficient, we just don't need to go into work as much. Obviously, that's not the way it worked, which is a shame.
No.
But rather than spend more time relaxing at home, cooking dinner with your family, people think that we've got to eat fast, I've got to eat now, and, you know, I've go, 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 and everything's accelerated. Even though we have faster communications, faster computers, faster everything, we're apparently running out of time. Because I think the system and the man has filled that spare time with work and the need for money.
Having said all that, porn has never been better. Like, it's...
Well, I don't know, man.
But the thing is,
I got a problem
all
with
of this
porn.
Stuff, though, like, but back in the day... You did not have...
There's such a
like,
vast like, amount of it, too.
Like, this is the thing. Like, I read this thing about, like, the passing of boredom, right? Like, how back when we were kids, we were bored. Like, there was nothing to do. And I get that feeling sometimes, but really, sometimes I'm just spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
Right? I've got a Steam library full of games I've never played. I've got Netflix full of things I want to watch. I've got tons of series. I've got folders and folders of books. I've got audio books. I've got fucking books on my shelf.
Think
that
of all
I haven't
the
read
podcasts
that I bought and
there.
Just sat there. Like, some incredibly crazy statistic, like 75% of games on Steam people have bought and then never even loaded once, you know.
Yeah.
And then another 25% they've loaded up for 5 minutes and stopped again. It's like it's crazy, like the amount.
Well,
of, like,
a lot of this stuff you can pick up for really cheap in sales and stuff, though. You know,
I
like
think
sometimes...
that does skew it, definitely. Like,
yeah.
People think, oh, I might want to play this one day because it's a bargain. They pick it up and then they never do it. And it's like... You know, how it wasn't like that, you know, back in the day. I am over. I mean, like, I've been doing this channel with Terts where I'm trying to play a new game every day, right?
Yeah.
He's pimping his other channel on our podcast.
So how's that going? Are you
terrible?
Have you gotten to the point Have you gotten to like the fat middle layer where you're just there's a ton of very samey, not very polished. Not very well designed games that you're
absolutely not. So many new games come out all the fucking time.
A lot of
like this
cack.
Week.
Absolute
I've got like
cack.
Forza Horizon. I've got like fucking Call of Duty Blackout. I played the Black Ops. I played Blackout yesterday. I tried that. I've played like fucking just people are sending me stuff all the time. There's too much stuff, and a lot of it I'm like, oh man, I'd quite like to spend a few hours in this, and I can't because you know I'm just there's so much else I really want to do. And I guess it gives you the opportunity to pick and choose, though, right? And I do enjoy my free time, and I, you know, I watched through that Vietnam thing, but you know, it's like it's different to how it was when we were kids, right? It's you know, even with like porn and everything.
Remember, you know, remember renting movies? Remember you
exactly.
Could, and
it was
and
actually
movies,
like a lot of work to go and get a movie out. I mean, did you watch, actually, by the way, did you watch this fucking executive decision on the TV?
I did. I watched it on TCM.
It sounds like a fucking TV movie.
I was tired, so I went and sat in front of the TV. I flicked
did you,
around.
Did you join like halfway in, or did you join like 10
I joined
in?
A half an hour in. And I watched
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
And you feel like you hadn't missed anything.
No, it's a shit movie.
Because
I
that's
mean,
what
know.
Movies used to be like. And TV shows still are a little bit like that. Like, I was watching, like, I just turned on the TV and, like, Burn Notice was on, like, this American show. And you can fucking join that show, like, any point in it and just be dragged along. It feels like the kind of TV show that's designed for motels in America.
Right.
Where you go into the motel, you turn the TV on, you turn the shower on, you unpack, and it's just there in the background as this noise. And it's just such a thinly kind of nothing story that is so predictable and obvious, but it's just background noise telly. Like oh, I don't know. Sorry. I've
like Dinner Date.
Yeah.
I think that's on in my house like all the goddamn time. It's either that or kids' TV. It's kids' TV or if we don't know what to watch, Dinner Date. Oh, fuck
yeah,
Dinner Date.
Dinner Date's like
There's like a channel that only has Dinner Date on it too, which is fantastic. You just, you know, if there's nothing on, you're just like, oh, well, I'll just watch Dinner Date.
I mean, those
like,
episodes
I know it's going to be on.
It's half an hour or whatever, but it might as well be divided into 3 10-minute. It might be might as well be 10-minute episodes, you know, yeah. Like YouTube episodes where you can just run this fucking playlist and it's just the same shit every time except different faces. I think that's what we do, right? Same shit but different.
Yeah,
you know? And it's like it's comforting. It's like familiar, but also you know what you're gonna get, and also like I don't know. We like it, humans. We like to go through life having the same thing but slightly different. It's weird.
So boys, I mean, it's apprentice season is back on upon
oh
us
God,
and I've been watching it
hell.
Last night was well, as usual, just a fucking train wreck. Bunch of grown-ass men and women who are probably successful in their own right or whatever, but when it comes to doing challenges set out by Alan Sugar, they just seem to like
that's Lord Sugar to you.
Completely, I refer to him as Alan. We're on like first name basis now. I've watched that show all the goddamn
fellow
time.
Fellow businessman.
So yesterday's challenge was they all met up at an old flour mill, one of the biggest ones in the world.
I've laid on this flour mill for you. Now what I want
from
London. You is,
yeah.
I want you to grind the grain and the wheat and make some bloody bread.
No.
Well,
so
I've laid on this bread for you. And now I want you to toast it and make me a bloody sandwich.
So the baking industry in the UK is worth $3.6 billion per
the
year.
The baking industry in the
yeah,
UK
that's right.
is worth $3.8 billion, pounds. I want them.
Lord Sugar wants all of his dudes to go out and make artisan donuts, okay? Because there's a lot of room for innovation in that sector, in the donut sector.
The future is round with a hole in the middle. Get going,
right.
You mugs.
So they set out to design their own donuts, and then they had to wake up at 2:30 in the morning to go to a bakery and learn how to make donuts. They had to like secure orders, and then in the end they had to bake like what fucking 600 donuts or something to fulfill these orders, and it was just a shit show. Like as
worse.
Usual, it was just a fucking shit show.
Everyone on
like,
that show is a fucking idiot.
It's crazy.
They're so stupid.
Oh god,
they're so egotistical and backstabby, and they make terrible decisions time and again. Like I have no experience of business, like other than working for them and being a customer.
But there's definitely stereotypes around it, and these people seem to conform to every single one of them. Like they're just emulating successful people in the worst way, right? Like they talk the talk in a lot of ways.
But walk the walk?
They
Six,
don't walk the
they
walk.
They do not walk the walk.
They're
if
not
thou
walking
dost
that walk.
Talk the talk, thou must
yes,
walketh
exactly.
the walk.
Exactly. Oh, it's crazy. I'm not, you know what? It's one of those things, like, it's the perfect sort of, like armchair general show, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where
you can sit there
and
go, ah, these people are so
yeah,
stupid.
You think you know better. But if it was you in the situation, you would probably make a lot of fucking mistakes,
also,
too, right?
Also, all the good shit you do is probably going to get edited out. Every smart conversation, the one where you look like a mug.
Yeah, because the format of the show is definitely like certainly in the first couple of weeks, it's a lot like any other show where there's a lot of chaff that needs to be filtered out. Indeed. So there's a lot of people like making like huge mistakes, and but this season has been awkward. There's just some really awkward people, and there's just been moments where I've had to close my eyes and like clench really hard, like it just really hard to watch.
Well,
like,
that's why I stopped watching these kind of shows.
But it's still, I still like watching it for some reason. It's like almost like a guilty pleasure or something. Like it's,
is that okay? Do you reckon they do? I mean, this is the thing, right? Like we talk about when we do these sort of live action-y sort of challenges, right?
Yeah.
My attitude is always, let's do our best, right? Because if we do that, we'll probably fuck it up anyway, right? Because we're stupid, right? We don't go into these live action challenges saying, let's make a fucking mess of this, right? We go into it like, I am anyway. I'm always like, yeah. I want to try and do as good as I can here. And then if it turns out shit, well, that's good. That's just inevitable. But at least I wasn't, at least I didn't even fucking give it a go.
Yeah.
Do you think people on the show, do you think they are trying their best? Or do you think they are just literally...
I think they are, because I think, you know, if the outcome of the show is an investment into a business that they want to start up, that's
but
a pretty big opportunity, right?
Who in The Apprentice has ever fucking gone on to like be successful?
I don't know. They have recaps every once in a while where like, you know, these people are, they look like they're on board, but who, you never can tell. I don't know. Like some of them probably go on to do like nothing.
I mean, they're given like such a big fucking opportunity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a quarter of a million that they get potentially invested in. Whether it happens or not, I have no idea. Maybe it does.
And a lot of the people on it are already usually people who own businesses, right?
Yeah,
already.
And are fairly successful. Well, they range. Some of them aren't, though. Some of them are just like, you know, accountants, communication managers and stuff like that. But they feel they're entrepreneurial enough, or they have a good business case that they think is going to... But the business cases are always pretty terrible as well. So I don't know, like... But again, I'm not an expert. So like I'm watching this and like I feel like, you know, if I was on there, I'd clean up, and I probably wouldn't. Like I would probably get kicked out in the first week or whatever, but I don't know. It's just crazy.
Would you go on it?
It's crazy. No, you know what? I don't think I would. I don't think I'd ever go like on Big Brother either. Oh my God, that would be the worst. What if you had like a moment of madness where you picked your nose and ate it and you forgot that you were on TV?
I would never do such a thing.
What if you were really bored and you're just like, oh fuck, I wonder what this tastes like
no,
now that I'm an adult.
I used to
eat this stuff all the time when I was a kid.
I
but
didn't.
Now that I'm bigger,
oh, it's just
maybe
the most
I just want to have a little
thing.
Taste.
Ugh, please stop. So gross. I honestly feel sick when people do that or I see it or talk about it. Please stop.
I don't want to be on a TV show like that, because I think you just end up looking so bad, and like maybe you're not that bad in real life at all, you know. Maybe you are a very competent person, but these shows definitely make you look totally incompetent, right? Like you said, the editing and everything. And the nature of the challenges. It's a lot of pressure, right? They don't have a lot of time to do this stuff. You know, like, people that have never baked a donut before, you can't expect them to make nice donuts, like, or even edible ones, like, in their first, like, 5 minutes of baking donuts.
You bang it up, you donut! That's what he wanted. He wanted to be able to call them a donut. Right, you donuts. Talking of donuts, I've laid on this bakery for you, and I want you to bake me some bloody artisan donuts. You mugs.
It feels like only in London would they have a big market for artisan donuts and gourmet burgers.
New York as well. Yeah.
You know, this is like one of the most expensive cities in the world to even visit, let alone live in. And it's just like, here, let's just add another layer of expense. Like, you know, if you want to have, you can have a super nice burger. It's going to cost you, but it's going to be fucking really nice. Like, there's an Oreo cookie attached to the top of the burger, because that's kind of zany and stuff. And, you know, we could probably charge you 5 extra pounds
right.
for that one Oreo cookie to be on top of your burger. I don't know. It seems crazy. Like, but I guess, you know, if people buy it and it's popular...
There's a $100 donut you can get in New York. I saw it on, I think it was Man versus Food or something like that.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's been dipped in gold.
Right, let's do it. Let's do it now. Okay, you're on the donut task. What's your fucking, what's your solution to like some artisan bullshit donut?
I don't fucking know, because like a donut is just a donut, right? Like they all kind of taste the same. It doesn't matter what you do to them. Like,
I got one for you. Chicken donut.
Chicken okay. donut, mate!
You're gonna just shred some, like, fried up chicken shreddings?
It's like a
shreddings.
Chicken nugget, but in a donut shape with sugar on it.
Yeah. Right.
Fucking hell. Yeah, delicious,
you
mate.
You could call it a dough nugget.
A dough nugget. Oh,
yes!
That's a perfect.
The dough nugget, see?
We're rich!
This would be gold!
We're rich!
We would be
millionaires! We came up with a killer idea, the dough nugget! Oh, quick, nobody copy this!
What are even, like, what are the big donut chains now? Krispy Kremes?
Oh,
and then
my
there's
God,
like
I love Krispy Kreme.
Dunkin' Donuts is still going, I'm assuming. In Canada, there's Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons?
Tim Hortons. but like, you know,
shout
what I mean?
Out and to all of you guys, if you want to...
What do these
the
places
nugget?
Do that's so special? All the donuts taste the same.
Hey, like, no, you know. Hold on a second there, Mr. Man. Krispy Kreme donuts are the best.
You get like a honey cruller or like a sour cream glaze. Those are pretty nice.
I just like the basic bitch donuts.
Just the old traditional chocolate glaze. You get chocolate glaze or vanilla.
Oh, I love Krispy
vanilla
Kreme.
Vanilla glaze. But you know what I mean? There's nothing like, you get the ones with filling, like, you know, like with the chocolate filling, and sometimes they have like, you know, like chocolate icing on top with like a bit of white icing, like... zigzagged on top or whatever to make it look nicer. But like, where else can you go with donuts? I feel like that's it. That's like,
no sir, there's
apart from
options.
Just putting weird shit on top of it,
yeah.
Like a full cookie or
right.
Like sprinkling flakes of whatever on top or whatever, like I guess that makes it look a bit different.
No,
better, but I mean the actual cost of ingredients isn't much higher, is it? It's just like a couple of sprinkles and a fucking cookie
right.
out of a
I want
packet
you to do
that
me
you
a
paid
favor.
A pound for.
I want you to do me a favor, all right? I want you to Google artisan donuts and look at this shit.
All right, hang on
and
a
you
second.
Tell me that these don't fit the bill
artisan
of
donuts.
Artisan donuts. There's one here
okay,
called
okay, here's
Cross
a couple
Town
of ideas.
London.
Let me swing it by you, mate. All right, listen up. All
right.
I've got a couple of ideas.
You're
going to
lay out.
First of all.
Let me lay on.
These look like, honestly, these look like normal donuts. Okay?
No, they really
here
don't.
Here is a chocolate glaze with hundreds and thousands sprinkled
look,
on it.
All right, I've linked it in Discord. Look at this. Look
you
at this
You can get
website.
A little tub of hundreds and thousands for like 35p. So that drives up the price of this donut? I'm going to pay £3.50 for a donut with chocolate glazing on it.
It looks like a five-year-old applied that chocolate.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Like, it does look like kids make some of this. Like, some of it looks impressive.
Here at Artisan fucking Donuts, all of our donuts are put together by five-year-olds. That's right, that's our gimmick. Do you want a five-year-old to decorate your fucking donut custom every time?
How much is a donut
ugly
worth?
Face.
Okay.
Smiley face.
Let me
giraffe.
How
dinosaur. Anything.
How
my five-year-old will draw you badly on a donut.
Crispy.
Do you want sprinkles? There's too many.
Cream.
He's put all the packet on.
Cost.
Don't worry. Packets of sprinkles only cost us 35p. But this donut... £5!
All right, listen. So at Krispy Kreme Donuts, I can buy one donut for $1.29.
God, that's expensive.
Okay? Right. Okay, but these artisan donuts on The Apprentice yesterday were selling for £4 each, okay?
I know.
So,
Jesus
and
Christ.
What's the difference? What are they putting on this that makes it worth that much?
It's like a captive
and
audience.
And it's not
though.
A lot of extra effort either. Realistically, like, you've got the donut with the icing on it, and that's like your normal $1.29 donut. And then you put like a chocolate-covered pretzel on it. Bearing in mind, you haven't made this chocolate-covered pretzel, okay? This is one of those chocolate-covered pretzels that you just get from, like,
you didn't
Bulk
even
Barn
make
or
this pretzel! This isn't artisan!
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of artisan are you?
So just putting a chocolate-covered pretzel on top of the donut drives up the price by, like, 300%? That's crazy.
Do you want to know why this is?
I think artisan donuts are a scam.
Dude, it's not a scam. I'll tell you what it is, all right? There's a really good book by Tim Harford called The Undercover Economist. I recommend it. And he talks about why when you go into
really
fucking Starbucks, the menu is coffee
yeah.
and then super coffee and everything in between. So there are multiple different kinds of customer. One of them is price sensitive. One of them is price insensitive. Those are the two extremes, right?
Right.
Price insensitive customer doesn't give a shit how much he pays or she pays for the coffee. They're going to spunk money on this fucking coffee. The price,
they just want the best
they
thing
just
on
want,
the
they,
menu.
No, they don't even care. They'll just go, give me this, and put this on it and sprinkle these and five of those. The price sensitive customer...
They're just like, oh, well, I'm spending money on a coffee.
Right,
you
but
know,
they're price insensitive. They really don't care if it costs £5 for a cup of coffee. They're going to pay the £5. Then you get me. Cheap Flax walks in, give me the cheapest, shittest, smallest coffee you do so I can fulfill the requirement to drink a coffee without spending more money on it than I need to. That's the price-sensitive customer. So if you have a menu that just says, how much do you want to spend on coffee? That's what they desperately want to know, is how much would you spend? So what you really want as a shop owner is for the customer to come in and slap money down and go, I will spend all of this £10 on coffee. How much is your coffee? And you can say £10. And they'll say, perfect, and give you the tenner. That's what the shop's ideal scenario. Of course, what actually happens is you walk in and go, how much is your coffee? So rather than say, and try to gauge how much you can gouge this person for, you just say, well, look at our menu. We have everything from a 60p cup of shit coffee.
We have shit wank dog shit coffee for £2, right? Or fancy Ecuadorian thing ground on the thighs of virgin children for $9.99.
I'm a non-virgin child. What's wrong with you?
Oh, I could name a few, unfortunately. God damn.
So, yeah, that's it. That's why they have this shit, these artisan donuts. Your price-sensitive Goomba, like me, isn't going to fucking spend £5 on a donut, but some price-insensitive Goomba will. That's there you go.
So that's what it boils down to. Yeah. Some people just don't care about how much money they're spending on a donut, and then other people do care about how much money they're spending
And they
on
go
a
to
donut.
Krispy Kreme and spend a buck, and the guys that'll spend £5 go to...
And I guess it makes sense, whatever. Because, like I was saying, it's not a lot of extra overhead to pass into the artisan area of donutery, right? Because all you're doing is putting on some, you know, some extra sprinkles or whatever that probably cost you nothing.
Exactly.
But then you can you can inflate the price and
because Starbucks wants to charge you 30 or 40p for a bit of whipped cream, even though that whipped cream costs them less than a penny to put on. So they make a lot more money from those people that say, I'd like the mocha plika pluka plaka latte, please, with pumpkin spice, and I want the cream, and I want the chocolate sprinkles, and I want the powder, and I want this, and I want that. And it's all costing pennies, but they're charging pounds. That's the big margin, is the
It's changed, though. It used to be that street food was this shitty, cheap, sausagey wank that you would just not want, okay? You'd avoid it, right? It would be crap. But now it's all artisan. Like,
it is.
Food,
look at the Bristol food marketplace.
It's weird. All the shops are corporations mass-producing garbage, and the food trucks are artisan places which one grandma, you know, makes, oh, my bespoke sandwiches, good food that I grow in my greenhouse, and I've only got one tomato left, and it costs you £9.
I mean, one of those street food places does tartiflette. It's like street tartiflette, really? Like, I was surprised.
I know, you can get fucking crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really good. But yeah, you're right. But then you've got these middle-class people that have money, and they kind of want to go to Burger King sometimes, and McDonald's occasionally, and Domino's and stuff from time to time. But if you're going into your office, you don't want to walk in with a fucking McDonald's bag. You feel like such a scrub. You want to go to the fancy food market and say, some Mongolian lentils today, sprinkled with donuts.
Oh my god.
It only cost me £8.
There's no hope. There is no hope for humanity, is there? Like,
no, there's
we're
a lot of hope for us. We're
come
fantastic.
On.
We're,
yeah.
They're not. Mongolian lentils sealed the deal. We're done. We're over.
Okay,
we're
great.
I've got an idea. Here's my idea for donuts, right? How about this? A donut that is based, it's called the Croggy.
Don't bring up the Croggy.
A bike wheel. It's shaped like a handlebar.
You've got to jam your foot in this machine, and then I'll shove an avocado up your ass. Delicious.
Top. So what's Adam Sugar think of that? Adam Sugar.
Adam Sugar.
Adam,
think?
Adam.
My brother Alan's a big deal. They call him a lord, but down here at Adam Sugar Industries, we make donuts. Nice and simple. Sweet. Square donuts. Oh no, square donuts. What have I done? Oh, I'm ruined.
So hang on. The Apprentice in the US was just Trump, right? There wasn't another there wasn't another,
I mean,
like,
look how successful he went on to be. Oh, fucking Alan Sugar still slaving away at the fucking,
I don't know, man. He does okay. Like, he's
done,
all right.
He's done well for himself, hasn't he? That Trump. That, he's really done well after that TV show. He wasn't rich before,
it's like
then,
an
was
episode
he?
Of Gogglebox.
He was rich as fuck before he went on The Apprentice, you goon.
Well, so allegedly, I think
he
lied a lot.
He inherited a lot, but yeah, he inflated.
No, it's just a small loan. Just a small loan to get him started off.
Just a small loan of $10 billion.
Anyway, let's end the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for watching this listening to this garbage, I guess.
Listening to this garbage, yeah. I mean, there's probably, like, technically better podcasts out there, but you know what? This one fucking owns, right? Like, it's the best. Like, where else can you find three miserable people arguing about the price of donuts?
Exactly.
Answer that one, guys.
Well, it's thick. Thanks, everyone. We're going. Bye.
See you later. Bye.